So you said rehab. When did you...
Shortly after the story broke, and I had been asking my attorney, you know, for a while, I said, I know that there's gambling addiction every addiction is the same addiction in some way, but every addiction also has its very unique, different nuances. And one of the things about gambling addiction is that it has the highest rate of suicide of all the other addictions. And the main reason is, you know, there's no urine test. There's no drug test to find out, you know, if I failed or not. I get put a smile on my face and I go. But I asked my attorney, I said, you know, I really feel like I need to go to rehab, because I said, I'm in a state where I don't know what's going to happen to me. And they wanted to kind of kick the can down the road a little bit till they felt things were. And finally, I got the go ahead. And there is a rehab facility in Shreveport. Obviously, which is crazy to have a gambling addiction rehab in next, you know, with casinos everywhere. It was also on Stoner Street, which I always thought was very funny. But and in the state of Louisiana, when the casinos came, it is very different, because we have tribal casinos here. It's a different situation, but they had what I would call corporate casinos. The governor in that state said, "That's great. We're glad you're coming. You're going to be bringing a lot of tourism, but you're going to bring a lot of addiction and a lot of issues, and you're going to pay for it." And so at that time, I don't know what it is now, but for a long time, if you were a resident of the state of Louisiana, you were guaranteed, at that time, it was a 37-day stay in a rehab facility for gambling addiction free of charge. All you had to do was show up and show your driver's license, and you would be in an inpatient facility. I was able to go there. I didn't have any money. Everything was gone. I was able to go on a scholarship. And I went, it's called the Center for Recovery in Shreveport. And I went, and it was the first time in months that I'd ever felt safe. Hmm. And I was surrounded by people with addictions just like mine. And we had to tell our stories, and everybody's story was in many ways alike, some of them very different. You know, there were nurses. There was a woman who was, and this is how bad the addiction is. And I'm not saying, oh, well, I think that, you know, what I did was bad. Wait till you hear this. That's not it. But there was a mom that you would call a soccer mom, stay-at-home mom, very influential, financially sound family. She would take her to do carpool, drop her kids off. She'd go to the casino. And she would run out of money, and she would turn tricks in the parking lot and go back in and gamble with that money, and then go back and get back in the car at the end of the day and go and pick her kids up. Wow. There were, you know, there was a very good, she and I, this woman and I have connected, and she was a nurse who was also, she and I joke about this, so I'm not breaking any confidences here, because I'm obviously not going to use her name or where she's from. But she was a nurse, and she was financing her gambling by stealing the identities of patients, setting up a credit card accounts, having the cards delivered to vacant homes. So she'd do her rounds picking up all these credit cards that she had ordered. But she also had a driver's license machine in her house where she would make IDs for all of these people with her face on them. And she remember her making a comment to me. She goes, and she was just being, you know, just kind of walking me through the process. And she goes, and, you know, I just remember her saying, "Arizona is the toughest driver's license to duplicate." And we were in a group counseling session, and the question was, "When did you realize you had a problem?" And she goes, "I never thought I had a problem." Mm-hmm. And I yelled an obscenity, and which you don't do in group. And people just turned to look. I go, "You got to be kidding me. You were selling meth. You had stolen identities. You had a driver's license machine in your house making driver's license like it was no tomorrow. And you don't think you had a problem?" And she said with a straight face and from the bottom of her heart, she goes, "I just thought I was expensive to entertain." she ended up in jail, in prison as well. And so, you know, it's but that stint in rehab was the best thing that ever happened to me. We went through all the processes, and to kind of go back to some of the things that you have asked about, I still remember the first meeting with my counselor. He had printed out everything about me. And he looks at me and he goes, he just looked at me and he goes, Emmy-nominated TV producer, speaking at events all over the United States, state senator, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, when's it going to be enough? Yeah. My answer was, it will never be enough. It will never, ever, ever be enough. And I think,
What do you mean, it'll never be enough?
I will never be able to accomplish enough to feel satisfied.
Oh, my.
And feel that I am, dealing with the addiction, good enough because of all of the bad that I am.
So here you are, 63, you have 40 years left to live. Do you think you'll ever come to that point?
Well, I will tell you, that's what rehab does for you. It's a control alt delete on your life. And so, you know, let me just kind of back up for one second. I had from June to August, I am doing this stuff, including a stint in rehab, go in, plead guilty, and I'm ready to get this show on the road.